6-0-6-2-3.
Perfect way to start off a new week as we go inside the Beltway to find out what's going on in Washington, D.C. And, of course, it always has rippling effects to you and me across the U.S. here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And right off the bat, starting off the week, we get the grand dame of talk radio news, Ellen Ratner. Hey, Ellen, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
I bet you were busy watching all those football games today, right?
Well, you know, we're selling that we're promoting your book on our internet site, but I'm telling you, I don't know about sports.
I love that. They probably see that book and they say, "What's happened to Ratner? What's going on? Why is she got a sports book?" I don't understand. Just tell them sports is like politics. There's teams, the us's and the them's. It's very much
right.
Like Washington. Speaking
it
of the
prepared you for your life in talking about politics.
Exactly, it did. Speaking of that, the House is out and right, the Senate is in this week.
The Senate is in. They come in tomorrow at 4 p.m., so not much expected tomorrow. The president begins his bus tour in Asheville, North Carolina tomorrow.
And so what's he expected to do there? He's going to go through three different states?
He's going to two different states. His message is going to be we can't afford to put cops on the beat because we're not asking millionaires to pay more. The Job Act would create more than 9 million jobs over the next year. There's no plans from the Republicans that would create early job creation. Most of the Republican proposals are a repeat of past programs. And Eric Cantor, even on Fox News, could not come up with a way to create jobs. That's pretty much what the president will be saying in one way or the other tomorrow.
And, you know, there's been a lot of people talking about, well, listen, this is just a whole campaign thing. But didn't they make it clear that no campaigning?
Well, they are, and it's interesting that the White House is saying this isn't a campaign. This is what the president does. Presidents put forth their agenda. So it depends on your perspective. We always used to think Bush was campaigning. He probably was. His White House said, oh, he's just being presidential. And that's exactly what's going on with Obama.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, the Wall Streeters and the protests, all the stuff that's been happening with the Occupy, blah, blah, blah. What's the latest take from 1600 Pennsylvania on all of that?
Well, the White House is basically saying on the Wall Streeters that this is something that we understand that they want reform. And that in terms of the restoration of Glass-Steagall, the president said that they want to implement the Wall Street reform that was passed last year, including a way of getting their particular candidate to run that consumer bureau through the Senate, advise and consent, but so far no luck.
Wow. A big thing happened today, obviously a huge thing, the dedication of the Martin Luther King Memorial. What did you hear about that? It was huge.
Well, it was huge, the president, we were actually supposed to do pool today, but April Ryan, who represents American Urban Radio Network, wanted to do it, and we felt like she should, so she did it, so we didn't do pool today, otherwise we would have gone, but in any case, basically the president said that he said, and so this moment when our politics appear so sharply politicized, the faith in our institutions is greatly diminished. We need more than ever to heed Dr. King's teachings. He said he calls of us to stand in front of in the other person's shoes, to see through their eyes, to see their pain, and he tells us that we have a duty to fight against poverty.
All right, what a note to end on, and you'll hear clips for that, by the way, folks, a little bit later in this hour of America Tonight. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News, thanks as always.
Thank you.
You know, part of that Sunday swirl, Ellen and I going back and forth about a little politics, and it's, as she said, whenever the president was out, like the Bush days, he was accused of campaigning. Now we see the same thing, obviously, with Obama. But looking at the Republican side of things, and our straw poll, because a lot of you sent me notes, and I thought I made it clear as to who won, Herman Cain did win the straw poll. He won it with 105 votes, but narrowly. Ron Paul was second. Ron Paul came in with 103. There was a flurry of voting at the end of this, And Romney and Perry weren't even close. You know, they were way back in the pack. Romney ended up with 70, and Perry ended up with a 69. And Bachman, Michelle Bachman, ended up with 41. So that was it. That was, you know, officially, and all of you wrote clever little lines to me. Thank you so much for participating. After 3 weeks, that's what we came up with. We would throw it in now and then. It's an unofficial poll. So I'm happy that all of you wanted to throw in your 2 cents. Some of you who went for Ron Paul mentioned that you thought, hey, Kane is good to breathe life into what's happening on the other side. You know, as I was saying to Ellen there, it's about teams. Sports is similar to politics. But you didn't really like 999. See, 999 became that catchy little clever phrase. They call it a takeaway line. It's something you can put on a bumper sticker, something you can put on a shirt, one of those kind of things. Like, make my day. You know, there's a million movie lines that are takeaway lines. So Kane's was the 999. But he's on the Sunday shows. He's asked more and more, pushed about it. And when push came to shove, one of the things that he did say is some people, hey, some people are going to pay more and some people are still going to pay less. Overall, however, it would replace the complexity of the U.S. tax code, and you would have a 9% income tax, a 9% corporate tax, and a 9% national sales tax. So who has to pay more? The people who spend more money on stuff. Of course, we've talked about it. Many of you have complained about it, saying you didn't like the idea of a national sales tax, because that would be added money on top of what you're already paying. So if you buy anything, you know, new, not used things, because there's obviously a difference there. It doesn't matter unless Kane gets elected and he pushes his 911. And remember, of course, you have to get everything through the legislative branch. But he did get the takeaway line out there. Now Kane is first in an NBC Wall Street Journal poll among Republican candidates and second in a Reuters Ipsos poll, but his fundraising totals in the third quarter are nowhere near the establishment guys, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney and, of course, Texas Governor Rick Perry. So, does the president face a rough fight for re-election in November? I think it's getting rougher. It seems like he's hitting some serious potholes. But anybody on the Republican side is going to have to step up to the plate and then some. They're going to have to hit a grand slam, not a double, not a triple. You know, here we are almost in the World Series. I can't help it, baseball in the brain. So I'll make the analogies. I mean, they got to have a grand slam. That's it. Because they're going to have to convince the independent folks that they have a better plan to create jobs, and it's all about jobs. Coming up later on this show, speaking of jobs, the Occupy movement. What is it really? We're going to let you hear some of the voices. Also, sad note, IRL driver Dan Weldon dead at 33 after a 15-car wreck that he was involved in at the Vegas Speedway. The IRL world mourning his death. And others, of course, so we'll talk about that. Coming up next round the bend, though, the weekly re-rack, the best interview of the week, Pete Doherty on homeless veterans. You want to pay attention to this one. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power, a gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. You know, we talk about the nooks and crannies, and you know how near and dear the issue of veterans coming home is to me in all aspects. Well, check this out. The Department of Veterans Affairs is launching an anti-homeless initiative. And could we emphasize how important this is to reach out to families, to heroes, and let them know what options they have to try to do whatever we can to get these veterans on their feet and working. So we're pleased to welcome to the show Pete Daugherty. He's the Principal Advisor to the Veterans Affairs Secretary, and he's working on the Veteran Homeless Initiatives. Pete, thanks for coming on ATN.
Well, glad to be here. Thank you very much.
So you decide, you got to do something. We got to shine a spotlight on this. We got to do this campaign across the nation to really raise the level of what's happening, of how bad this homeless situation is. So let's start there. What is it that people don't know about veterans and homelessness? How bad is it really out there?
Well, it has been a very bad problem for a long time. Good news is that VA and our federal partners and community and state have all been working together to try to make the situation better than it's been in the past. What we are now doing is launching an initiative that will not only highlight the health care and benefits assistance that we can provide for these veterans, but for the last couple of years, we've been robustly working with the Department of Housing and Urban Development to create permanent housing for these veterans. But most significant, the newest thing that we're doing is prevention. And prevention is certainly the key. No one grows up looking to become homeless, and certainly no man or woman who's worn our nation's military uniform grows up with an aspiration that they will one day become homeless. And so we're now working on a homeless prevention effort that has never been undertaken before. And so we are going to be going out beginning this week and next to 28 cities across America, both large places and rural areas, and start an initial campaign that will spread across the country to make sure that veterans themselves know that we're here, willing, able, and ready to help them. And we're also trying to reach out to family, friends, fellow former service members, first responders, police, ambulance crews, those kinds of folks. Many times the veteran is reluctant to come and seek some assistance, and what we're trying to do is to make sure that not only are we waiting, as we have in the past, for that veteran to come to us, but we're trying to be more proactive and reach out to the community so that they can make the call to help the veteran as well.
What seems to be the worst place? Because you rattled off a bunch of, you know, over 25 states. What's the worst place for this, where the problem is just pandemic almost?
Well, according to the best information that we have, about half of the homeless veterans in America live in four states: California, Texas, Florida, and New York. That doesn't mean there aren't homeless other places, but those are the places, although about 33% of all veterans live in those places, a little better than half of all homeless veterans reside in those four states. So Los Angeles and New York City and Miami and Houston and places like that are places that have lots of homeless veterans, and those are places that we're making significant effort to reduce the population.
So you've reached out to the first responders and whatnot. You're trying to get that information to them so they know, hey, let's funnel it this way. Let's channel all our efforts. Is that part of the effort to wrap your arms around this problem?
Exactly. What we're trying to do is trying to make sure that, I mean, many times, particularly with new veterans, people who have just completed military service, they're having some difficulty, they're having some problems. They're not literally homeless at this point yet. What we can do is we can do things to intervene with them, to, first of all, make sure that they have some good basic health care. Many times these veterans are suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder and other illnesses that need care and treatment and can move them along in their lives very quickly, but they may be reluctant to come in because they don't feel like they're combat wounded. And so what we're trying to do is not just put it on the veteran themselves, but many times those of us who are friends and family members of these veterans, we see changes, we see needs. And so the idea is not only for the veteran to do things to help themselves, but also for those who come across and our family to veterans to make the call as well.
And you have a national call center, is that right, for homeless veterans that kicked in last year? How's that working?
Well, it's working very well. We've had over 30,000 calls to the national call center. And what it's designed to do is to help answer questions that veterans may have about programs and services they can get, make referrals. And if they're in a crisis, this is a phone number that is able to be answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if the veteran's in crisis, we can do things to make sure that veteran gets timely access to the services that they need to end the crisis.
And Pete, isn't the veil of mental illness and whatnot starting to be lifted now? Because, you know, this is a proud bunch, and you think so much of what we're talking about, these veterans, mostly male, not all male, but you have statistics that say 94% of the homeless vets who get the VA services ultimately are male, and most of them are single. Is now that veil starting to lift? So, ooh, let's get that help. No worries. There's nothing shameful about that. That had to be part of this initiative, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the fact of the matter is that mental health issues, and particularly post-traumatic stress issues and depression and other things, are very common in the lives of everyone. And what we're trying to do is just treat it the same way. And we as a society, I think, have come a long way toward moving toward recognition that this isn't a character flaw. These are chemical reactions in some cases in your mind. You know, the stress that you're carrying is different than the stress that I'm carrying, even if we went through the same situation. But it'd be no different than the two of us jumping out of an airplane and you being perfectly okay at the end and me having an ankle injury, even though we did exactly the same thing at the same time. So the issue of mental health and physical health, because many of these veterans have lots of other physical health problems. They have, you know, diabetes, and they have respiratory problems, and they have joint diseases and other things as well. So what we're trying to do is say, look, your health problems, your health issues can be addressed and should be addressed for you. And so every veteran, particularly those who have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, are welcome to come in, get a primary health care visit. If there's further health care needs that they have, we can deal with them on that issue. If they're having adjustment problems or readjustment problems, we should be here, and we try to be here to assist them in any way we can, because no one, and particularly no one who's worn our nation's military uniform, should be homeless in America.
I so agree. And of that homeless population that we're talking about, of course it could be vets from many wars, but are the vast majority from Iraq and Afghanistan?
No, the majority are still the end of the Vietnam War and the immediate post-Vietnam War era. But certainly we are seeing more and more veterans who have served in Iraq and Afghanistan. But let me also give you a caveat with that. You know, 25, 30 years ago, we didn't do the things that we do today. We didn't reach out to veterans who had served in Vietnam and right after Vietnam and try to bring them in for health care and other services. And what we found is that we got most of them sometimes decades after their military service had been ended and they had lived sort of a horrible life. What we are trying to do now is trying to be very proactive, and that's what the prevention effort is all about. So when you're first having some difficulty with your employment, with your housing, with your health care, with readjusting, getting back to family, we are trying to be there to help you at that point so that you don't become that literally and long-term and chronic homeless veteran that we've seen in the past.
So the message is, if anyone's listening and you know someone in these situations, call the VA. There is help. They don't have to be stranded, right?
That is absolutely correct.
Great thing that you're doing, Pete. Certainly we wish you well, and we'll push this initiative. Pete Daugherty, Associate Director, Veterans Homeless Initiative. Thanks so much for joining us, of course, here on America Tonight.
Kate, if I could, let me just give you that national call center number.
Sure.
Call center number is 1-877-424-3838. Again, 1-877-424-3838. It's free. It's confidential. We have trained counselors to work with you, and it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
All right, call that number. Pete, thanks so much.
Jason Lewis here. We talk daily about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Concerns with the economy, job loss, and natural disasters, just to name a few. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dry meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Food Storage entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get free shipping on any order. Call 855-FOOD-WISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com, gourmet emergency food at the best price.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's UTOPIA Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Attention military, law enforcement, recreational shooters, airsoft and paintballers. OpsGear is celebrating its 10th anniversary and you can save 15% on your order right now. OpsGear is your source for head-to-toe tactical gear for duty, range, field, guns, recreation and more. Check out clothing, knives, targets, optics and gun accessories, molly gear, vests, bags and packs, multicam, holsters, boots, police gear, training supplies and more. Or check us out online at OpsGear.com. That's OPSGEAR.com.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
America here on ATM with me, Kate Delaney. Well, the president is off on a little bit of a southern swing that has nothing to do with campaigning. He's going to talk about this job situation, how critical it is. One of the things the pres said before he left 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue for this three days it's going to be in North Carolina and Virginia, he said that what's happening with this economic fight, what's going on, in other words, the Occupy movement and whatnot, is like civil rights. And he said it at the Martin Luther King Memorial, which, of course, the Martin Luther King Memorial is long overdue. Let's face it. There's no question that Martin Luther King was a civil rights leader who made a difference, who I believe in everything I've read and people that I've talked to, was a great man, had a lot of things to say that resonated with a lot of people. But it's not about whether we think Martin Luther King was worthy of a memorial. Certainly he was. But the president, using the backdrop of MLK and all that he stood for, to say, listen, this economic fight is just like civil rights. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Think of I Had a Dream. So he was in front of the 30-foot granite sculpture of MLK Jr. And he said this absolutely. In a million ways, we can compare this to the movement we see now. We can draw strength from those earlier struggles. When met with hardship, when confronting disappointment, this is a quote from the president, Dr. King refused to accept what he called the isness of today. He kept pushing for the outness of tomorrow. And so, as we think about all the work that must be done, rebuilding an economy that can compete on a global stage and fixing our schools so that every child gets a world-class education and making sure our healthcare system is affordable and accessible to all, vote for me in 2012. He didn't say vote for me in 2012, but that's it. That's all the things that Obama has been talking about. And part of that is, of course, the Occupy movement. Now, he's stinging because his $447 billion jobs bill was voted down in the Senate, as it was expected to be voted down. And now he's going on this three-day bus tour in, as I mentioned, North Carolina and Virginia to talk about these ideas and about raising taxes on super rich people to pay for these projects to employ Americans with the jobs that will be shovel jobs, you know, and to work on roads and all that sort of stuff, and teaching jobs. Those were really the two sectors. And the Republicans are not budging. They're not budging on this. Now, when the president referenced the Occupy Wall Street movement, he didn't say it by name, but he certainly gave a nod in his remarks to the economic inequalities that of the day, and that's what he was referring to and in trying to compare the movement to civil rights, which I think, sorry, is a big stretch. But when campaigning, it makes sense. If I were his campaign manager, you bet, make all the analogies all day long. So in a lot of cities, and we know this, in Philadelphia, I keep saying the same things, in San Francisco, in Raleigh, in Dallas and Houston, there are varying degrees, and I say varying degrees, and different types of people who are part of what's been called the Occupy movement. It's occupying whatever the city's name is. The biggest one, of course, is in New York, and a lot of the arrests and whatnot have been made there. So there were also, though, hundreds of protesters arrested in Chicago, in Phoenix, in Denver, and then they keep coming back. Here's what some of the people in Chicago had to say about Occupy Chicago.
They were very clear on that and made sure everyone was aware of the risks and just that everyone was aware of what we're doing. We had a really great legal team working with us. I wanted to say just to show that I'm really serious about this movement and want to continue it on as long as possible.
And some of them have raised money. About $300,000, actually, was raised in New York. Cindy Sheehan, remember this? Her son was killed in Iraq, and she protested the war and was outside of Crawford Ranch when Bush was president and wanted to talk to him, and that became a big story, and she became a big peace activist. So she sees that as part of the role in Occupy Sacramento. That's where she was.
And social justice that we seek cannot be achieved without complete and unconditional peace.
All right, so peace in this deal. None of the rioting and the doom and the gloom and the martial law that we're hearing. Ooh, this could happen. It's out of control. We're seeing it in Greece. It's going to happen in the United States. Look at these angry protesters. Look what's happening. There's all kinds of ideas as to what this thing is. I can tell you what I saw in Dallas. From what I know of Dallas, you have a handful of tents. It's a very small amount of people. You have a mixed bag. There are some younger people there, but there are frankly a lot of homeless people there, and it's very unorganized from what I could see. And they're trying to move them out of the downtown area. Our own maestro on the technicals, Matt Johnson, had a little brush with the Occupy people in Minneapolis. Matt, what did you see?
Well, I was downtown at the Minneapolis Government Center taking care of a speeding ticket. And I remember first approaching the building, I didn't really realize, I guess, that these protests were still going on in Minneapolis. And it just looked like a bunch of homeless people were outside. They just had sleeping bags set up and everything. And I took a walk around. I didn't talk to anybody, but I just was trying to catch the vibe of the area. And I actually heard a lot of protesters. It was just a mixture of people that all had different ideas, and they were all fighting with each other pretty much about what the proper way to protest was. So it seemed a very jumbled mix of people and a lot of different ideals kind of clashing to try to capture the whole, I guess, protest movement.
Yeah. I think what you saw is what I saw, a similar thing. Disorganized, not really anything going on there. Now, some of you might have seen something different. If you have, I want to hear about it. And also, you can throw in your two cents. I mean, what do you think about this Occupy movement? Does it really have legs? I mean, is this going to be something in future generations we'll talk about? And back in 2011, there was economic hardships that befell a lot of people because of the unemployment rate. And people were tired of it, and they weren't going to take it anymore, so they were occupying the cities. I don't think so. I'm saying no. It's not going to be like you when I was in school and they talked about the protests for the Vietnam War, when we discussed all the wars when I was in a history class in fifth grade that came up. That was one of the things. There were protests, and here's what they look like, and they showed us video of all kinds of things, you know, footage from the war and what had happened. And one of the things was movements and people protesting and how significant they were or they weren't, and were people's voices heard, and there was pressure on the White House and all that kind of stuff. Do you think that's the case here in Chicago, where you listen to the young woman talk about, well, this is what we want. This is what, you know, we've got lawyers and we're ready and you have to know what's at stake here and that kind of thing. The Chicago cops arrested 175 people who had put up tents in Congress Plaza near Grant Park, which is one of the places of downtown Chicago. And this is what we're seeing pop up around the country. And there's two schools of thought on this, and I see this with people that I know. Some people I know think it's bravo, screw it. It's time for the middle class to rise up and say, we're not going to take this anymore. Just because we weren't born with a silver spoon, why should we be left out in the cold, and why should the other guy be getting the fat cat tax breaks and everything that goes along with that? And then there are other people I know, and this is from all walks of life, who say, you know, there's nothing there. I'm middle class, but I'm not going to jump into that because I really don't see them. I don't see them doing anything other than camping out, getting a little bit of coverage on the news because it's a slow news day somewhere. And, you know, that's it. And as Matt said, are they just disorganized? See, when they try to make the comparisons, as some people have, to the Tea Party, I think you can't compare them. I think they're a little bit different. The Tea Party wasn't about camping out. It was about letting the voices be heard that we're tired of the gridlock in Washington, and we don't want all this deficit and taxation problems and, you know, free the economy up for the business person and a few other things. And that really was staged. It was a staged event, the first one, for people to come out and voice their opinion. And then it blossomed and it became bigger and it cropped up in other places. But it would be, you know, like a Saturday or a Sunday, maybe it'd be during the week. And then there was a big one that Glenn Beck was part of, if you remember, in Washington. And then there was the spoof on that from Jon Stewart. So they did get attention, and people were elected because of the Tea Party. So it became more than, you know, it became a political movement that had some teeth. Will the Occupy movement get some real teeth? 800-259-5791. You can always throw in your two cents on that one. Plus, we're going to tell you around the bend, sadly, about the driver that was killed in Las Vegas today. Ooh, stay with us.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Alli-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health Products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Alli-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
I brought no one with me. No one will be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas.
Drinking too much coffee. I'm getting the shade.
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall.
Why don't want
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop. Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
I've been out to see Indy Racing League stop somewhere, Texas, Vegas, Charlotte, wherever it might be, someplace in Florida. You know, they have a circuit that they go through. Have you ever seen an Indy race where the cars are going well over 200 miles an hour? And you know, there's a big difference between NASCAR and Indy, although the one similarity is that they can both be involved, the drivers, in serious crashes where they lose their life. You think of Dale Earnhardt and just the fact of the Daytona 500, how he ended up being killed, and it looked like he was having such a good race. And, you know, that's years ago. Now you fast forward, and there have been plenty of, sadly, crashes and deaths on practice runs and trying to qualify, and actually during races. And in this stop for the IRL in Vegas, Weldon was a guy who, in his career at Indy, had won several stops and had won the Indy 500 twice, including this past year. Just 33 years old, he had the respect of a lot of other drivers. He had two young kids that he was just wild about. And so here he was, at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and unfortunately, he was involved in a terrible crash that took his life. I want you to hear what it sounded like and some reaction to that afterwards.
Oh, here we go. Total contact and a huge crash. Up in turn number two. Oh, multiple cars involved. Oh, my. It looks like Dan Weldon may be involved in it.
This is the hardest part of our job, and the last time I had to do this was 2006 with Paul Dana, but we have lost Dan Weldon today here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Yeah, and so the drivers were just, you know, many of them just sobbing openly. They showed them on camera. They did a five-lap salute around the 1.5-mile oval afterwards, and I think so many of them were shocked. Dario Franchitti was friendly with him, and he and his wife, the actress Ashley Judd, had gotten to know him pretty well and his family pretty well. I mean, just like the whole family, the whole IndyCar family, even if they have fights among them about drivers and races, ultimately they all come together. So, you know, here he was, three other drivers, including Will Power, who was a championship contender, were hurt in the pileup. It happened during lap 11. So Weldon was airlifted from the track in Vegas to University Medical Center, and then it was 2 hours later when you heard that announcement, when everybody was told about the fact that he didn't make it. And unfortunately, his car got trapped in that 15-car pileup, and it flew over another one, landed in a fence, a catch fence, just outside of turn two on that track. So the race was really only a few minutes into it when Weldon, who was at the back of a 34-car field, no less, was going, and he was in a spot. It was a big day for him because he was in a position where he could have gotten a $5 million payday if he had won, but he just couldn't steer away from that wreck that started when the two cars touched tires. So there were a lot of thoughts afterwards, including this from Davey Hamilton.
All I could see was cars flying and going upside down. At that point, I just shot to the bottom as fast as I could and almost got in the inside wall from in the transition on our warm-up lane. And at that point, you're still just trying to slow down and seeing parts. And, without a doubt, the worst thing I've ever seen in, my racing career, honestly.
When they're saying that, just how awful it is. Danica Patrick was close with Dan Weldon, and in fact, he was going to take over her machine, so to speak. Listen to what she had to say.
Very sad. He's a friend of all of us. And he'll be missed. And I just feel for his family.
Yeah, and like I said, he has a very young family, and they all knew each other. Patrick also went on to say, you know, that there was more to come. You know that the danger is always there, and since this had happened so early, and this was her take.
I want to finish well, and I want to do well. I don't want to be in an accident like that. My instincts are decent enough to try and not get a part of that, but it's going to come down to more of that in this race, I think.
Yeah, and there were a couple other people injured in that. J.R. Hildebrand and Pippa Maron, too, both were in the hospital, are going to be in the hospital overnight. Man, a burn to her hand. I think it's the finger that's a bad, bad, bad burn, but should be released. And Hildebrand was awake and alert, but they were worried about concussion, maybe possibilities need to be evaluated. So they'll do an autopsy and whatnot on Weldon, but Indy hadn't had a fatality since Paul Dana was killed at Homestead, I want to say, in 2006. And that was one of those things where it was a morning warm-up, because you got to remember how fast these cars travel, but just awful stuff there. Matt, I know you were paying attention to this, and did you see the video of it? You could see the car flip. I mean, I saw the video. This is radio, and you heard the description, and you heard how they were shocked in the play-by-play of it. But, man, it was the cars, it just, like, shot up in the air. It was like a chain reaction.
Yeah, and I did end up seeing video of it, and if you do get a chance to see it, it's one of the craziest things you'll ever see because there are sparks flying, there are flames, and there are two cars that go in the air, and Weldon's car is the one that just gets shot out of a cannon almost up into the air and into the wall. He went over, I think it was Paul Tracy's car or something
like that. It was, yeah.
It just launched off the back of his car and flipped in the air, and it was just a terrible thing to see.
Yeah, I think it's terrible, too. And as somebody who, you know, I used to say, oh, racing is just left-hand turns. But in my book, Level the Playing Field, I talk about this. I talk about how I was invited out to the track. I was invited out to the Texas Motor Speedway, went out there for both NASCAR and Indy, and I was blown away by what these drivers do and how different both forms of racing are. The Indy cars, you know, they look like matchbox cars, open wheel, of course, and that's the danger. You see how light they are and how small they are. Let's go out to Jeff in Oregon. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Pretty good. Hey, Kate, what do you think of the whole coach of San Francisco throwing a punch at the Detroit Lions coach today?
He didn't throw a punch at him. He pushed him away. What happened was Schwartzy went up to him afterwards to shake the hand. And remember, this was the Lions' first loss. And Harbaugh just really pumped his hand. He did pump his hand hard, and then it looked like he bumped up against him and ran off the field. I think it was just too aggressive of a shake and running off the field, and maybe a misunderstanding, perhaps. I have a feeling there might be some fines that come down the road from this, and then the players kind of gathered up as they were all going off. And it was very, very strange to see, because you don't see it too much with coaches. Usually, as much as they have the adrenaline and the testosterone running, they pull back. But that was just a weird, strange thing that happened. And the Lions, like I said, it was their first loss. You probably saw that too, Matt. That was weird, and a lot of people are talking about it. I think it was just I think Harbaugh was just running off, and he just kind of grabbed him close.
He was too amped up, I think.
He was pretty pumped up over the win,
and yeah. He was kind of still in celebratory mode when he met Schwartz, and so it kind of the celebration got turned into the handshake, and that's just, I think if he had a couple seconds in between, it wouldn't have happened, but it just kind of happened at a bad time.
Yeah, I think so too. That's what it was. That's it. Just he was excited because San Francisco, as much as they've had their own problems, beating Detroit was huge for them. I mean, that was a huge win because it was so tight anyway, and that's all it was. But trust me, people are going to be talking about it. They're already blowing the phone lines out in sports radio land, I understand. Because, of course, controversy sells. And there is some controversy to that, no doubt about it. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me. Go to our website. It's so easy, americatonight.net. Click on the email.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.